Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with Emile Decoux, who will be conducting the National Symphony Orchestra this weekend at Wolf Trap in a special tribute to the movie music of John Williams. Emile, thanks for coming on WTOP.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you might recognize the name and the voice because we talked to you a couple weeks back as you conducted a live orchestral accompaniment to Back to the Future.
That's right. It was really exciting. It's the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future. That opened our season at Wolf Trap for the summer. And this Saturday will be the end of our season, which we close with the great film music of John Williams.
Awesome. Before we, I know there's a million famous themes that he did. Before
oh my goodness.
We'll go down them one by one in a minute, but just generally first, I mean, what made John Williams so spectacular? And not past tense, he's still going. I mean, Lincoln and stuff recently. So, I mean, what was it? I mean, 49 Oscar nominations, I think, a bunch of wins. But what is it about his talent?
It's something about the music and the film and the story. And with so many films, you can remember, oh, I don't know, whatever classic film you love, and just love the film and love the characters, love the story. But with John Williams, the music is so integral to the story. If you think about the end of E.T., if you watched it without the sound, it would be a totally different film. So I think all the films that we're doing, people will know and love. And you remember it either from childhood or even more recent films. But you can just hear the music, and you not only remember the film, but you feel how you felt when you saw the film maybe for the first time.
And it brings you back to that
and
moment.
It's very personal. It's almost like folk music. Everybody knows all of this music so well, you can just, you know, kind of whistle it from start to end.
Now, as you go through all the different, on stage, as you go through the different pieces of music, will there be clips accompanying it on screen, or how is that going to work?
No, it's just the music itself. Okay. I will be introducing the numbers, and there's a lot of eclectic types of music and a lot of music. Actually, the orchestra's never played before, so it's a bigger mix than we've done in the past. And we have a special surprise at the end for our Star Wars, but we'll talk about that maybe in a bit.
Yeah. Let's go. Let's kind of go through the playlist here so people know exactly what they're in for here. And just, man, all these are just, you can't smile not looking at these titles. Raiders of the Lost Ark, all right, 1981 Steven Spielberg classic.
Absolutely, and it's how we're starting our concert. We've done it several times. I've conducted it with the orchestra at the Capitol before, and it's actually, we started our rehearsal this morning, Raiders. I thought 10 o'clock in the morning, this is the best way to wake up. But it's quintessential John Williams, and there's something about him and how he writes a march rhythm. And years ago, I think it was 2003, there was a film festival at the Kennedy Center, and John Williams was our guest conductor for the entire week. And you could just tell, Leonard Slatkin, our music director then, said so many composers are identifiable with just, you know, a melody or a two bars of music. And if you remember how the beginning of Raiders starts, just with one note and a certain rhythm, and you know exactly what that piece is and who it's by.
Yeah, that Raiders March. And even like the love theme in there, that whole movie.
It's just beautiful.
Or in the mystery when they have the Ark. And
absolutely.
The miracle of the Ark.
The orchestra plays it so well. It's also so incredibly well written for orchestra. And there are certain types of composers that any orchestra, and especially our orchestra, because we've had an association with John Williams and his music for a while, that they just absolutely love this music and respect it as much as any music you'd play in any concert in the world.
It's not just some popcorn mainstream movie theme. It's taken seriously, almost like a classical composer.
Absolutely. And there's hardly anybody in film music or in pops music that could equal that type of respect and love from seasoned professionals.
Absolutely. All right, moving down the playlist.
Yes.
So after Raiders, you'll go to another, a more recent Spielberg flick, Lincoln.
Lincoln, yes, which is a beautiful score and very different. Also marks the 150th anniversary of the end of the war and the death of Abraham Lincoln. And I saw this movie when it first came out because I love history and I love Spielberg. Mm-hmm. And I was late, and so I missed the opening of the film. I've since have seen it probably 50 times on my laptop. And I was listening. I thought, who wrote this music? I couldn't think. It sounds like Copland. It sounds very Americana, maybe some folk music or even Stephen Foster in parts. And I waited to the end credits. I thought, it's John Williams. I didn't guess, because he can morph into so many different styles of writing. And I thought it must be so difficult to write music for the most iconic figure in American history. But again, John Williams does it perfectly and brilliantly. And we have two sections. One's called Getting Out the Vote, which is kind of a fiddling tune, which starts with our solo violinist and then, you know, tosses around this fiddling music. Mm-hmm. And then the next section's for strings alone, called House Divided, which is absolutely exquisite. It's like a glorious inspired hymn to Lincoln.
All right, and then sticking with the Spielberg theme, because yes. Williams was probably, you know, his favorite composer. Yeah. He was like the Bernard Herrmann to Hitchcock. You
Absolutely.
Know? Jurassic Park is next up.
Yeah, because I just saw the Jurassic World, the most recent one, and they used those written by Michael Giacchino, who wrote Star Trek 2009, which we just also played. And they do use some of the themes from the original Jurassic Park. And so this is about a seven-minute suite that covers all the different types of characters and scary stuff and sort of the beautiful overarching melody that he wrote the theme of Jurassic Park.
Yeah, a lot of people, there's kind of two big ones. There's kind of that Welcome Jurassic Park, which is the rousing. And then there's the slower one, the piano.
Yeah, the thing in the middle, and then it goes back to the sort of rousing march with the very high trumpets. It's a really, you know, if you're a trumpet player, this is a hard concert. It's there's a lot of high trumpet writing from beginning to end.
They'll put them to the test.
Oh, they love it, though.
I mean, and there's even some scary elements in there, which kind of harkens to your next one.
Yes.
Jaws,
yeah. We rehearsed this, and it is so funny because it starts with just a rumble. So you have like a piano and a bass drum and a very low harp and just like this rumbly, with no pitch, just rumbly thing. And then you get those notes, cellos and basses, one note and then two. And the funny thing is, you are, again, you know who this is. You know what it is just by hearing two notes.
Yeah.
You don't even have to hear the da-dee-da, the third note. It's like the half-step note has become as famous in American culture as the squeaky violins in the Hitchcock shower scene in Psycho.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can still go to the beach today and have little kids who, some of them maybe not even seen the movie, still humming that at the beach.
And it's very, you know, it's funny. We rehearse in the morning at the Kennedy Center, and there's very little that will crack an orchestra up at 10:15 in the morning. And we're playing this, and everybody just started laughing. So I thought that's a good sign.
It's so great.
It still means something. It's the film's 40 years old. So that's
40th anniversary.
That's an old shark.
Absolutely. And still terrifying. The phobia is still there.
Yeah, exactly. It's still scary. Still bites.
I think of all of the themes that we're going down the list here, I mean, I feel like that's the one, if you remove it from the movie, it's totally different.
Yeah.
That saved many moments when the shark wasn't working, right?
That's true. And it was one of his first big hits also, because it was 40 years ago. It's a while.
It's incredible. After Jaws came out, the big follow-up movie was Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's the next one you'll be playing.
Yeah, and that actually has a real music link because it's the theme that you hear partway through played in the winds and on bells, which is how they finally communicate with these aliens. But again, you have that sort of magical theme that connects, that sort of cracks the code, as it were. And but again, these amazing, he is the most melodic composer, I think, of anyone that I've conducted since, other than maybe Tchaikovsky, because it is really hard to have one composer sustain an entire evening.
Yeah.
Even in classical music, maybe a Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Gershwin, and John Williams.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Well, Mozart, but you can count on maybe one hand, and it's because his amazing melodic gift, which you hear all throughout Close Encounters.
Totally. I mean, Jaws is those, he gets so much out of those two notes. In Close Encounters, it's that five notes, right?
Exactly.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
They even do it on the little kid plays it on the xylophone. Remember?
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah,
it's cute.
It's
I thought
amazing.
It was really great that they gave him such license to be an integral part of the story instead of just having him write music after the music or the film's already done.
Absolutely. Now, kind of shifting gears from that sci-fi flick now to a Christmas classic, Home Alone.
Home Alone, yeah, which the NSO is going to perform this coming season around Thanksgiving time with the complete film. And we have two choruses, because we'll have a chorus for this concert coming up on Saturday. And so we have two Christmas choruses. And I kind of like doing Christmas music out of season, because by the time you get to Christmas, you know, you're shopping, you hear Sleigh Ride and Johnny Mathis from like early October on. Yeah. You just don't really hear Christmas music. I always listen to Christmas music out of season.
Before,
So we have
Christmas in August.
So we have his two Christmas choruses with orchestra to sort of bring back Home Alone.
Somewhere in My Memory, right?
Yes.
That's the one?
Yes.
You guys will know it the second you hear it. It's a childhood favorite.
Yeah, you might not know it, and you might not even realize John Williams wrote it or that there's singing in it, but there is.
That was with Chris Columbus, and so that kind of set up their later pairing in Harry Potter, which we'll get to in a minute. But for after that on your playlist, you got Catch Me If You Can.
Yes, which is really cool. It's another piece the orchestra has not played before, so it's our first time. And it's, again, a totally different sound. You think of Raiders, you think of Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And then you get Catch Me If You Can, which sounds like very cool Mancini's 60s jazz, which is on purpose of where the film was set.
Right.
And actually, John Williams, when he studied at the Juilliard School of Music and made money as a jazz pianist.
Ah,
so it's kind of going back to his early roots of childhood. And features are guest saxophonist from the U.S. Army band, Paul Taylor, in an extremely cool cat sax solo. So we had a lot of fun with that. It's only awesome. Maybe about two and a half minutes long. It's a perfect little gem of a piece of cool 60s jazz.
That's so cool. I'm starting to kind of see how you guys ordered these a little, because Catch Me If You Can had Leo, and now we move into Titanic.
You're doing
a special tribute. This isn't a John Williams. This is a tribute to the late James Horner, but you've included it in here. Explain why.
We have. James Horner passed away last month, and everyone loves his music, and his music is very close to my heart. I love so much of what he wrote. We have performed his music, of course, with the Kennedy Center and at Wolf Trap, and our dear friend at the NSO, Marvin Hamlisch, most recently conducted My Heart Will Go On as a solo piece. In 2006, we played the end credits to Star Trek The Wrath of Khan with Leonard Nimoy saying the famous monologue from offstage before he came on stage for the second part. So
nice.
I love his music. It's a way of remembering him and thanking him for all the countless hours that he has given to us of beautiful music. So we've made a special arrangement for our orchestra and chorus of My Heart Will Go On from Titanic.
And man, it's got to be cool to follow in Marvin Hamlisch's footsteps. That's
impossible, but it's because he was
amazing.
He was a one of a kind. He really was. And when he passed away, the mold was never to be made again, because he really harkened back to that great golden era of live performance. And everything he did, it was nothing was scripted and nothing was canned. He would come on stage, he would gauge the audience, and he would make a tailor-made show just for whoever came there. And he was equally charming and funny and natural backstage as he was on. So what you saw as a public Marvin Hamlisch was just him. And we miss him very much. But we
lost two titans with Hamlisch and now James Horner.
Absolutely.
So it'll be a nice tribute hearing My Heart Will Go On. And obviously Titanic has millions and millions of fans. They will love that.
Oh, yes.
And even if you're out there rolling your eyes, you didn't like the Celine Dion or whatever, the instrumental version will give you goosebumps. Guaranteed.
That's right. Well, it does. And we have, and with a chorus, I think it'll be that much more impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So whether you like
Celine Dion,
that's right. Yeah, she did a great job in the film, I thought.
I thought so too, but you know, there's some Titanic haters, but get out there and I guarantee you the strings will give you goosebumps.
And then
before the intermission, you close out with
E.T.,
the one and only E.T.
Flying Music. That's one of my absolute favorite films and soundtracks.
Yeah.
And we're playing, it's called Flying Music, but it's actually the end of the film. It's what John Williams calls the final reel, which is another piece that he did at the Kennedy Center in 2003. And he did it with the film, which there's no film for us, but just the music. And I still remember I was assisting at the time, and the orchestra left, and they were going to do a check of the film to make sure the film was working properly. And so they showed the very end where Elliot gets on the bicycle to escape the police, and E.T.'s, you know, on the bike with him, and then it takes off. It lands to the very end of the movie. And I was watching. I grew up in Los Angeles, so I remember the San Fernando Valley. It looks just like when I was a kid.
The development room.
The tract house. It looks exactly the way where my parents live. And I was watching it without the music, and I thought, this is really, it's a good film, but it looks like a good TV film.
Right.
And then that evening, we have it with the music, and it was a very fancy crowd. It was a gala, and all these, you know, beautiful people in suits and gowns and everything, and everybody is absolutely crying. Everyone's in tears at the end, but the difference was because it was the music was there.
Yeah.
And the music gives that scene, as it does so many scenes in John Williams' films,
talking about the final scene?
The final scene.
I'll
that
be
gives,
right here. Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, it gives the film a heart. And when you listen to the music,
I got chills when you said that. I'm picturing it. I got chills.
But you listen to the music, and it brings it back. And something exceptional about that film and in film history is that John Williams had written the music that we're going to play, and he couldn't line it up with the film. And it just, whatever he did, trying to speed up, slow down, it wouldn't line up the way he wanted it to line up. And so Spielberg said, don't worry, just record the music, and I'll cut the film around the music, which has never happened in Hollywood. It's always the other way around.
Yeah.
But I think that's why the movie is such a great film and why it's a classic, because in this case, the music came first. It's a great story, of course, but the music is the soul of the film.
Absolutely. And so that'll take you into intermission. You go out, have a bathroom break, get some food, refreshments.
Great food, and drink, wine.
Then you come back in, and the second half kicks off with the Cowboys Overture.
The Cowboys Overture, which is from a film that he wrote with John Wayne. And you don't think of John Williams being in outer space or, you know, something kind of fantastical. But this is a real, honest old-fashioned Western.
Right.
And again, you listen to this, it sounds like those old Magnificent Seven scores or Big Country, from the 50s. And it's another side.
Is there any Sergio, Ennio Morricone?
No.
There's no spaghetti Western.
That's more spaghetti. This is just more
classic Hollywood.
Ribs and baked beans.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But it's a terrific piece. And it's a piece, again, by John Williams. So no, it's him because it has a distinctive voice. But I'm sure most people have not heard that before. And I tried with this to have a nice mixture of familiar pieces that people do know and kind of surprises that you might be hearing for the first time.
Well, that'll be a pleasant surprise. And then you followed up with one that everyone, especially younger viewers, will know.
Which?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. And we have a suite from Harry Potter. And it's another film that I heard without knowing who wrote it and started watching it. And I thought it sounds quirky. It sounds like Prokofiev, you know, because he wants it to be magical because all the stories of wizardry and witches and this and that. And
almost like a nursery quality, like a little, like a, what do you call it? Like a baby mobile sound almost.
No, it's true because it starts with the celeste, which is a very tinkly keyboard instrument that you'd recognize from The Nutcracker, Sugar Plum Fairy, or Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Yeah, of course.
And it starts with the celeste playing just by herself, this little simple kind of, almost like a kid tune, like you said, in a minor key. Then the strings come up, sort of making the sound of a rustling leaves in the wind. And then we get all the famous tunes that you recognize. After that, we have a chorus from The Prisoner of Azkaban, Double Trouble, which is a feature for our chorus and orchestra.
A lot of people hold up Azkaban as the highlight of the whole thing because it was Alfonso Cuarón directing
that
one.
A brilliant film.
Yeah,
it's just amazingly directed. And it's another thing the orchestra's not played before, so it'll be a first at Wolf Trap for us.
That'll be nice. And then afterwards, the big enchilada, Star Wars.
It is. And we have, we have all the famous tunes from Star Wars. It's about 20 minutes, and it's just, you could have, people have had entire evenings of just Star Wars.
Of course.
But it's just, we rehearsed in order when we put the program together, and after all these famous pieces, and you get to that, and that's like the aha moment of the concert. It's like, this is it. This is one of the greatest pieces of music ever written.
Do you have a personal favorite in the Star Wars? I mean, is it the main theme? Is it the Imperial March?
I like the Imperial March.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There's just something about it, because I've done it a lot, and it's just, it's at one point you get that repeated ostinato rhythm, and then he goes up a half step, and then you get the whole thing again. This is, I don't know how one person could write such a wealth of variety of music. And you think of even, I don't know, any regular classical composer that you can think of, Brahms or Tchaikovsky, they basically wrote in their one Tchaikovsky style all the way through, or Gershwin or Bernstein.
Right.
And John Williams has this amazing gift where he can just morph into whatever the movie needs.
Yeah.
And you can still hear and sense his personality, but amazingly changeable composer, more than anyone else I can think. He just can do practically anything. And yeah, Star Wars, that's the climax of the evening. And then we have, I don't know, I think we have about 60 or 70 Star Wars characters.
Oh, wow.
Who will join us. They'll be around at intermission, so they love having people take pictures.
Right.
And I have something sort of choreographed for the very end of the concert, which will
awesome.
You have to come and see it at Wolf Trap Live.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the American Film Institute voted Star Wars as the greatest score of all time in one of their recent lists. So
yeah.
I think you're right, making that the climax of your
absolutely
of your show.
And it still sounds brand new.
Yeah,
it really does.
It's amazing. And then
we do have an encore, which I don't know if we should talk about that because.
All right, yeah.
We'll be a surprise.
There's a special encore
a
very, believe it or not, all of the famous movies we've said, there's one that we haven't mentioned yet.
That's right. That is actually relevant to films coming out now. But we'll leave that. You have to come to the concert. It's
going
to be a great evening, beautiful weather, great music, great orchestra. And then clap your hands off, and we'll play something else.
Absolutely. And then before we go, we just named, it's like, how do you choose, but which one are you most excited for? Is there one that every time you play it on stage, you just blows you away?
Oh, well, I do love Star Wars. No, it is, because all of them is like, every one is my favorite one when I'm doing it.
Yeah.
For me, E.T. has been one of my, not just John Williams, it's one of my favorite pieces of music.
Yeah.
There's something, because I guess like a lot of people in our audience, when you see a movie that really grabs you, and it becomes personal. It becomes not just a movie. It becomes something that you take in your imagination and keep there and keep in your heart. And so whenever I hear this music, I think of the movie and I think of the times I've seen it and how much it's meant to me. And so that's kind of a a personal favorite for those reasons.
Tears will probably be streaming. One that's, one that's not on here that's interesting, maybe
that?
You didn't include.
What?
Schindler's List.
Actually, that was originally on there.
Yeah.
And when we decided to add the tribute to James Horner, we had to had to take that one out because it was because it could go on all night. And
right,
that was the one swap. But yeah, Schindler actually was on the original program.
I got you. Man, there's just so many. How do you
Yeah, we could do a whole nother evening on Sunday.
And we haven't even mentioned the encore. So come out
to
see what that one is. I promise it's a very famous one.
Absolutely. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks so much for taking the time to come in and chat about all these. You can hear the music as we're talking about them. It's just it's embedded in all of our heads.
It is. Everyone will know every tune. So you can hum along.
Absolutely.
On the way home.
Absolutely. Emile Decoux, everybody, he will be conducting the NSO at Wolf Trap on Saturday with a special tribute to the legendary movie music of John Williams. Emile, thanks.
Thank you.